No foreign games.
The Red Door made money three ways, and on a good night, Mikey could hear all three without getting out of his chair. The first was Paulie, who announced drinks the way other men announced weddings. The sweetheart, Paulie said, holding the cup up over the bar. Rose honey, juniper, and a splash of something I'm not legally required to explain. You drink this, you go home with somebody. That's not a promise, that's a tendency. The second was Frankie, whose flatbread had turned four dock workers into permanent residents of the long table. Nobody left the Red Door hungry. That was both policy and business model. Third was the back room, where cards ran six nights out of seven, and the house took a disclosed tenth of every finished pot. Because Vinny insisted that an announced rake was a fee, and a hidden rake was theft. And fees didn't get you stabbed. Vinny was at the end of the bar, closing out a tab with a cooper who'd been arguing about it for 11 minutes. You had four drinks.
I had three.
You had four. The fourth one is in your hand. Cooper looked at his hand. The argument concluded. Mikey watched the machine run. Watt came through with two buckets and got smaller when he saw Mikey. A waitress laughed at something a wool buyer said that could not possibly have been funny. It was, all things considered, a beautiful Thursday, which is when Godwin Thatch came in and ruined it with an opinion. Godwin arrived at the same hour every Thursday, ate white pizza with a knife like a lunatic, and drank the Union Special without ever once asking why it was called that. Tonight he came to the table, sat, folded his hands, and said, in that burbling West Country roll that Tony still maintained was Russian, I've a matter to raise, if you'll hear me on it, as a friend of the house. Every time somebody says that, it costs me money. 'Tis a small thing. You keep a fine game back there, a foreign game. Godwin took a breath. But I've not once seen a proper Thornwall table under this roof. King's mercy, Master Morano. If you'd have Thornwall regulars, you ought to host the game Thornwall men play. My game's not good enough. Your game's foreign. Same word, different tie. That would have been the end of it. Mikey would have argued for 10 minutes, agreed, and taken credit for the idea by Sunday. Except that a man at the bar turned around on his stool. He was maybe 50, in a traveling coat of good gray wool. Clean nails. The face of a man who had never been asked to leave anywhere. The warden is being gentle with you, he said. Your foreign game. I watched an hour of it last evening. Men shouting numbers at one another and hoping. There's no subtlety in it. It suits the docks. It's a game for men who don't like to think and don't care to risk anything they'd miss in the morning. The less the room did not go quiet, because the room was busy, but Mikey's part of it did. And you are? Cloth factor. I buy in six towns and I play cards in all of them. He said it pleasantly. That was the trick of it. He said the whole thing pleasantly. Mikey looked at Al, who had appeared at his elbow the way Al always appeared. Al, translate that for me. I want to make sure I heard him right. He said your game is loud and stupid. That part I got. What else did he say? Minimized. Al hesitated. He said your men don't risk anything they'd miss. Here that means nerve. He said it before a guild warden, in your house, and smiled so he wouldn't have to say it straight. So he called us cowards. He called you cowards politely. See, that's the part I can't have. Mikey said, standing up and buttoning his jacket. Say my game's dumb, fine. You come into my house and tell the room my guy's got no nerve? Godwin, deal your game, right now. Deal it at that table so everybody can see. Gabbeth Thatwin Thatch looked like a man who had asked for a candle and been handed a bonfire, and who was, deep down, delighted. I'd want it handled proper, he said. Cards face down till the reckoning. No man touching another man's three. and the deck counted before and after. Fen from inside his coat. I have a proper deck. Cutler's Row work. Godwin counted all 37 cards before he allowed anyone to sit. He examined the faces, declared the deck complete, and handed it back for the cut. Count whatever you want. Sal, move the table. Sal moved the table. They sat four. Mikey, Tony, Hammond, and Fen. Godwin dealt and judged. Vinny stayed on his feet with the notebook, because Vinny playing meant Vinny not counting, and Vinny not counting made Vinny physically unwell. Al gave the rules in under a minute, which Mikey appreciated, because Al had a tendency to give the history of a thing when what you wanted was the price of it. 37 cards, 4 suits, 1 through 9, 9 is high, and 1 fool, no suit, ranking below everything. 3 cards each, face down. Everyone antes, 1 round of betting, then a second. No more than 2 raises in a round. At the reckoning, every dealt card turns up, folded or not. Best hand is 3 alike, then a run, then a pair, then high card. The fool can't pair, can't make a run, can't count for anything. So he's garbage. Except for this. If you hold the fool, then after all the betting is closed, after, never before, you may declare king's mercy. Then the worse hand takes the pot. Mucky sat back. The worse hand wins, if mercy is called. The worse hand wins! Mikey looked around the table for support and got none. This is what I'm always saying about this country. You got no plumbing, and now the losing hand takes the money. You people don't have a government. You have a suggestion. Mercy, Godwin said, wounded. The lowest man at the table may be raised up. It is a virtue. Minimized. It's a loophole, with a crown on it. Same word, different tie, Godwin said, and Mikey decided he liked Godwin more than was convenient. Blindness. They anteed a copper each. Godwin dealt 3 apiece, 1 at a time, face down, with the ceremony of a man laying a floor. Fen, Mikey noticed, did not look at his cards. He reached out first and slid the candle down the table toward the middle, turning it a quarter, then sat with his hands flat and watched the backs of the cards come out of Godwin's fingers. Then, and only then, he picked up his 3. Hammond checked. Fen bet 2 coppers. Mikey, Hammond, and Tony called. On the second round, Tony pushed in 2 more, because Tony had bet 2 of whatever was in front of him since 1949 and had never once been talked out of it. Fen studied him and folded. Mikey followed. Hammond called. Hammond called. Tony said, "Okay, king's mercy." Godwin's eyebrows went up. "You're certain, lad?" "I got the fool." Tony turned it up like he was showing off a fish. "He's the guy who asks, right?" "That's what Al said. He's got the fool, he asks for mercy. That's the job." "It is a choice, not a, nah, it'd be rude not to." Godwin turned the folded hands face up and set them aside. Tony had the fool and a pair of 7s. Hammond had a 9, a 4, and a 2. 3 cards that hated each other. "Pair takes it normally," Godwin said, "but mercy's called. The worse hand's raised up." He pushed the pot to Hammond. Hammond stared at the coppers with the expression of a man who has been handed a gift he doesn't understand and is not going to hand back. "Tony," Mikey said, "you had the winning hand." "Well, I know." "You gave it away." "He was in a bad spot, Mikey. I was helping." "You were helping him. He's not on our team. There is no team. It's cards." "Then why do we all sit at the same table?" Across the table, Ambrose Fen laughed. It was a warm laugh. It was the warmest, most generous laugh Mikey had ever wanted to punch. "Don't laugh at him," Frankie said. "That's our table. You want to play, you play. You don't get a show." "Yeah, I'll play the evening," Fen said. if the young man stays. Tony started to get up. I don't think I'm any. Sit down, Mikey said. Nobody at this table leaves because they don't understand something. Half this city doesn't understand anything, and they're all still here. Silver stakes, Godwin. Real ones. Vinny, write it. Vinny wrote it.
The next 2 hours were an education, and Mikey paid for all of it. Fenn didn't win every hand. He won maybe a third, and never looked surprised. He'd fold without pain, wait 4 hands, then push in hard and be right. Hammond lost the way Hammond always lost, cheerfully, steadily, and with commentary. I know this game, Hammond said, putting in 3 silver he did not have any business putting in. I've played it since I were a boy. Then how come you're down 11? Because I know it. If I didn't know it, I'd have gone home. Nen Fenn folded early. Tony pushed in his usual 2 coppers. Tony, you keep doing that and you're gonna get pinched like Tony Earlobes. Tony Earlobes didn't get pinched. He moved to Jersey. He got pinched for stealing some mook's chain in broad daylight, Frankie said. Stunad. I thought he got pinched for punching that prick cop, Paulie said. Cop had it coming, but you don't do that unless you got dirt on him. How you gonna tell me what I saw, Frankie said. I saw him in the cop car with my own 2 God-given eyes. Yeah, but you don't see so good. Maybe it was Sonny the Rat. Sonny the Rat? Sonny's 40 pounds heavier and bald like Tony's uncle. Flexibility with the comb over? Vinny said. Yeah, that prick. No offense, Tone, but your uncle might be the stupidest guy I ever met. I agree, Tony said. He's still my uncle. That's not nice. What's Angelo got to do with the arrest? Vinny asked. Nothing. We're talking about Tony Earlobes. I thought we were talking about my bet. What the hell were we talking about? Frankie said. Tony Earlobes got pinched, Mikey said. 2 times, Sal said from the wall. Chain first, cop second, jersey after. As they argued, Fenn squared his folded 3, thumb riding the same lower edge before he passed them to Godwin. Paulie lingered with his tray and watched. Can one of you play your hand? Fenn said. We're talking, Mikey said. On the next deal, Hammond drank 3 times before the first bet reached him. What are you gonna do, fold? Mikey said. I know you're not betting that pair of 2s. You don't know what I hold. I got your number. Good cards, you don't drink. Bad cards, you pour it down like the roof's on fire. Fold. Save yourself the silver. Hammond looked at his cup, looked at Mikey, and folded. He's right, Frankie said. Now do Mikey. Mikey fixes his tie when he's bluffing, Vinny said, without looking up from the notebook. 4 times tonight. He's doing it now. Mikey's hand was at his collar. That's not a tell. That's standards. Raise, Fenn said pleasantly, pushing 4 silver forward. Blindness, Mikey folded. At the reckoning, Godwin turned every hand. Hammond had a 2, a 2, and a 6. Mikey's 8 high looked exactly as bad as it was. Told you, Mikey said, 3 silver lighter. You're playing this like it's poker, Vinny said quietly. It ain't. The fool makes the winner the loser after the money's in. Do you play it? You'd have to know where the fool is. Nobody knows where the fool is. That's what I'm saying. Nobody does. Vinny frowned at his notebook, and Mikey filed the frown. Word escaped the red door. By the 2nd hour, 40 extra bodies filled the main room, and the men who couldn't see were paying the ones who could for descriptions. Paulie ran it like a man conducting weather. Cups up, gentlemen. Nobody watches a card game dry. This is a Bronx sunset, honey and fire, 3 coppers, and yes, you can drink it standing. He never stopped moving. Frankie sold flatbread standing on a bench. Frankie also, somewhere around the ninth hand, opened a book. "It's not gambling," Frankie explained to Al, who had not asked. "Gambling is a game of chance. This is a game of opinion. These men have opinions. I'm collecting them, and I'm holding a small fee for the labor of the collection." "You are taking bets on which man wins the next hand." "I'm taking opinions, Al. And on whether mercy will be called. That's a separate book. Completely different instrument. You can't mix them, that'd be irresponsible. And a charcoal stub." And Vinny, moving between the table and the bar, said in Mikey's ear, "Room receipts are up. Way up. Paulie's turned over 18 cups in the last half hour, and Frankie's out of the second batch. We're getting cleaned out at the table." "Right, but the room's never done a night like this. I'm just noting it." "Note it later." The crowd enjoyed watching a polished merchant take money off the foreigners in their own place. Mikey stayed in. You never left while somebody else was deciding what the room meant. "Raise it," Fenn said easily, pushing 4 silver forward. "Unless the docs would rather not." The suspicion arrived in pieces the way it does, and the first piece was Vinny. He crouched next to Mikey's chair between hands with the notebook open, and his voice down at the level he used for things he didn't want a room to hear. 19 hands where the fool got dealt to somebody other than him. He's been in for the first round on 15 of those, which is normal. He's in on almost everything early. He's put money in the second round twice. So he's careful. Mikey, he doesn't get careful. He's not careful with Haman. He's not careful with you. He raises you off a hand every 20 minutes. He gets careful exactly when somebody else is holding the card that flips the game. 19 times. Twice. That's not proof. I know. I'm saying it keeps coming out the same. What's the odds on it? Bad. Not impossible. Vinny scratched his jaw. And I can't put a number on Tony. Fenn's tried 4 times and got him wrong 4 times. I wish I could call that genius, but I've watched Tony play for 6 years. It isn't. He's the only one of us not losing. He's losing. He's just losing slow, because he never bets more than 2. Second piece was Paulie, who came by to take away a cup that wasn't empty and set down one that was fuller. Hey, your merchant does a thing. What thing? With his thumb. Paulie didn't look at the table when he said it, which Mikey appreciated. When he stacks up the cards or when he passes them to Thatch, his thumb runs down the same edge. Every card, same spot, bottom left, like he's checking a rim for chips. He's done it all night. 4 hours behind a bar, you see hands, Mikey. Hands are all you see. Could be a habit. Sure, and he moved the candle twice. Asked me for another and offered 2 coppers when I said no. Familiarity. Did you take the 2 coppers? Obviously I took the 2 coppers. I run a business. Mikey did not say the word out loud. In a room this full, cheat was a match. And once struck, the red door either proved it or wore it. So he waited, and hated waiting. And the thing that broke it open was Godwin's fussiness and Tony's hands. Godwin called a pause at the top of the hour. He always did. He counted the deck at every pause, out loud, in fives, because a proper table kept a proper count, and Mikey had stopped finding this annoying around the same time he'd started finding it useful. Tony, being Tony, helped. Tony straightened decks the way he swept floors, constantly, and with no visible improvement. He'd gathered discards all night and squared them for Godwin. Nobody thought about Tony's hands. Hey, Tony said in the middle of the count, some of these are bumpy. Lad? No, but like... Tony had the stack flat in his left hand and was pushing cards off the top with his thumb, one at a time. And every so often he'd stop and pull one out and set it down on the table by itself. He did it 4 times, then a 5th. He wasn't looking at the faces. He wasn't even looking at the cards, really. He was looking at the ceiling the way people do when they're using their fingers instead of their eyes. These five got a little ridge on them. Right on the corner here. Feels like a candle drip. He turned the top one over. Hey, this is the fool. I know this guy. The table went quiet in a specific way that Mikey had heard before in other rooms and had never once enjoyed. Godwin reached for the five cards. Fenn got there first. Hine grabbed the cards. He grabbed Tony's wrist, took it and knocked Tony's hand sideways off the table so the cards scattered, and said loud to the room and not to Tony. Look at his hands. He has had his hands on that deck the whole night. He has been sorting it by feel for an hour, in front of you all, and now he has found five cards he can tell in the dark. You have all watched him do it. Who else has touched these cards? Not the warden, not I, him. And that was the bad part, because it was good. Mikey watched it land on 40 faces, the foreign kid who'd touched the deck all night, made plays nobody could explain, and thrown away a winning hand at the start. Frankie's book wrote on those hands. Haman was down 14 silver. Haman stood up. His hand went to his hip, and it stayed there, on the hilt, not moving and not leaving. Answer him, Haman said. His voice had gone somewhere Mikey hadn't heard it go before. I've lost coin at this table tonight, and I want it answered. Sal stood up. He'd been by the wall all night, through the insult and 4 hours of noise. He rose without speed or sound, and a 2-foot circle opened around him. He took one step, stopped, and looked at Fenn's fist around Tony's wrist. The room worked out the arithmetic. Fenn let go of Tony's wrist. Everybody stays where they are, Mikey said. He said it in the quiet voice. He came around the table and stood between Tony and the rest of it, and he put a hand flat on Tony's shoulder and pushed him down into the chair. This kid didn't mark those cards. You would say so. He's yours. He's mine. That's not the reason. Mikey turned to the room. I've known Tony Castellano 6 years. He can't work a scheme. He can't work a sandwich without help. You're telling me he marked 5 cards under a guild warden's nose, then announced it out loud because they felt bumpy? Then he is a fool as well as a cheat. He's a fool, Mikey agreed. He is not a cheat, and you don't get to hang that on him so you can walk out looking clean. Shoulder speaking low and fast. In Thornwall, false play by a man who serves here stains the house. If the charge stands unanswered before the guild warden, no guild man plays under this roof. It has to be settled by something they'll accept. Then we settle it, Sal. Infeld Sal came forward. Every card on this table, the whole deck, the 5 off the floor, all of it. It goes in your hands and it doesn't leave your hands and nobody touches it, including me. Nobody adds, nobody takes. Sal collected the cards. It took 11 seconds and nobody in the building interfered. Godwin Thatch, Mikey turned. You're a guild warden. You count decks for fun. You got a clean deck? Blackout Godwin was already reaching into his satchel, his hands shaking with a fastidious man's outrage at improper handling. Sealed, Godwin said. Guild stamped, wax intact, the same cutler's row pattern as Fenn's. I carry a spare because tables get spoiled. He looked at Fenn without friendliness. We shall compare them before the whole house. Warden, Fenn started. You'll sit down, sir, Godwin said. Fenn sat down. They did it on the long table. Polly set the candles low and off to one side. You want the light coming across it. Anybody who's ever checked a bar top for a scratch knows that. Anybody who's ever made a scratch knows it better. Godwin broke his seal and laid the clean deck out in suits, the fool at the end. Sal set Fenn's deck beside it, card for card. You could see it once you knew where to look. Fenn's fool and 4 9s carried a small wax ridge at the lower left corner. The clean deck had nothing. The other used cards had nothing. Somebody in the crowd said, "Ah," the way people do at fireworks. Hammond leaned in and touched one with the pad of his thumb, and his hand came off his sword hilt while he was doing it, and did not go back. "You can feel it," he said. "You can feel it without looking."
"Sonny the Rat sanded a deck once," Frankie said. "Sloppier."
"Now do this," Vinny said. He held a 9 by the edges. His thumb landed exactly on the ridge. "That's the grip. Polly's watched him do it for 4 hours.
"I said hands," Polly said. "I said it's all hands."
5 cards, Mikey said. "Out of 37. Why 5? That's all he needed. The 9s told him where the strongest cards were. The fool told him when the ladder might flip after his money went in.
Vinny turned to the room.
19 times the fool was in somebody else's hand. 17 times he got out before the second round. He wasn't disciplined. He knew.
He watched the backs before he ever looked at his own 3, Mikey said. First hand of the night. He moved my candle to do it.
He bought a 2nd candle off me, Polly said, for 2 coppers, which I kept.
Fletcher Fenn's thumb carried a pale yellow smear of wax. By then it was decoration. The room had decided. Mikey let the noise run about 4 seconds and then cut it off. "All right, here's how it goes, and it goes this way because it's my house and because the warden's standing right here, and he'll tell you if I'm out of line." He pointed at Sal. "The purse doesn't move. Vinny's got every buy-in and every pot from tonight written down. And every copper this man won at that table goes back to the man it came off of. Mine, Hammond's, Tony's, and the 2 silver he took off the fella in the brown hood in the 3rd hand, wherever he went."
"He went to the privy," somebody said. "He's coming back."
"Good for him. 2nd, 4 silver to the house, out of your own purse, for a ruined deck and 4 hours of my table. That's not a fine, that's a bill."
"And then?" Fenn said.
He'd gone gray around the mouth. The coat was still sitting for him.
"Then you walk out of here a cheat, in front of a guild warden and every mouth in the docks, and you go sell cloth in some other town."
Flashlight Fenn said nothing.
"Or," Mikey said, the room leaned. "Or you pay first. Sal holds it either way. Then sit 1 clean hand against the man you called a cheat. 10 silver aside, warden deals, guard watches. Beat him, you leave with 20, and people say you were a thief who could play. Lose, you leave with what's in your boots, and never say nerve in Thornwall again."
10 silver? Out of my pocket? On Tony?
Mikey didn't look at Tony.
"That's me saying it in front of everybody. You said we don't risk what we'd miss. I'd miss it."
Fenn looked at the door and at Sal, who was standing next to the door in the way Sal stood next to things. Mikey knew he wouldn't leave. A man who'd questioned foreign nerve could not decline 1 clean hand. He'd built the trap out of his own manners.
"Deal them," Fenn said.
Godwin dealt. Hammond stood at his shoulder and watched the shuffle with his arms folded, choosing to be a guard instead of a man down 14 silver. Mikey decided not to mention it. Sal held the old deck in 1 hand and the frozen purse in the other, and stood behind Fenn's chair. Vinny recorded the stakes out loud. 10 silver aside, matched, on the table. Nothing else touching it.
"No side wager can move 1 copper of that pot," he announced. "Frankie's book is outside. It stays outside."
"Kamal,
it's a separate instrument," Frankie said, to about 11 people who were shoving coppers at him. 2 silver ante each.
Godwin dealt 3 apiece, 1 at a time, face down. Tony picked his up, looked at them, and made a face.
"Oh," Tony said,
That's not good.
Tony!
Da, what?
You can't say that. He asked me how they were. He didn't ask you anything.
Bet, said Godwin. Tony pushed 2 silver in. Of course he did. He'd pushed 2 into every pot he'd ever been near, in New York or Thornwall. And Mikey watched Ambrose Fenn try 1 more time to find the man behind the bet and come up with nothing. Because there was nothing there to find. Flooring, Fenn called. 8 in the pot. 2nd round. Fenn bet 4, hard, and sat still. Tony called the 4 and pushed in 2 more. Fenn's jaw moved. Mikey could see it happen behind his eyes. Clean deck, no ridges, no candle, no fool he could name. And across the table, a kid who bet 2 into everything, and had once given a winning pair away to be polite. Fenn had a hand. You could tell he had a hand. He called the 2.
Betting's closed, Godwin said. No man folds, no man adds. Is there mercy at this table?
Yeah, Tony said. Mercy. Definitely mercy.
You're certain, lad.
Look at my cards. They're terrible.
Tony was already turning them over, because nobody had told him not to, and he'd never in his life waited to be asked.
That's the fool again, and that's a 2, and that's a 5. That's a bad spot. That's what it's for, right? Bad spot, you ask.
The fool. A 2. A 5. Nothing matching anything. Fenn turned his over 1 at a time, and the last one he set down very slowly. An 8. An 8. A 3.
Pair of 8s, Godwin said, into a room that had gone completely silent. Takes an unpaired hand. Normally. He put both hands flat on the table. Mercy's been called, after the betting closed, in the proper order, by the man holding the fool. The worse hand is raised up. He pushed 20 silver across the table. The lad has it. The noise that came out of the red door then was loud enough that a man walking on Dock Street stopped and came in to find out what he'd missed, and bought a drink while he was finding out, which Pauly later insisted should be entered in the ledger as advertising. Tony looked at the pile of silver in front of him with mild alarm.
Right?
Do did it right.
I didn't do anything, though. They were just bad.
Tony. Mikey put a hand on his head like you do to a nephew. Don't ever explain it. Not tonight, not next week, not ever.
You will ruin it.
Ambrose Fenn stood up, and to his credit, he stood up straight. He looked at Godwin, because Godwin was the one whose opinion would follow him out of town.
Preventive stands, sir, Godwin said. You'll not sit at a guild table in Thornwall this season, and I'll say so where it's asked.
Fenn nodded once. He looked at Tony a moment longer, with an expression Mikey enjoyed very much, which was the expression of a professional who has been beaten by something he cannot file anywhere. And then he went out through the red door, and into the street, and out of everybody's life. Nobody hit him. Nobody followed him. Sal handed him his boots money at the threshold, counted, in front of witnesses.
They settled the whole thing before the candles burned down, because Vinny would not have slept otherwise. Restitution came out of the frozen purse against the notebook, name by name. 9 silver back to Mikey. 11 to Heyman, 4 to Tony, 2 to the man in the brown hood, who had in fact returned from the privy and was now the most confused rich man in the docks, 4 silver to the house for the deck and the disruption. Frankie's slips got settled last, out on the bar, with Frankie reading them aloud in a voice that suggested he was performing a sacrament. Heyman, you put a copper on the merchant to take the last hand.
Did.
I know I lost. I was standing right there. I'm required to say it. It's the process.
Haman paid his copper. Then he drained his cup, set it down, and said to Mikey, I put my hand on my sword tonight over your man. You did. He didn't do it. He didn't. Well, Haman considered, he's still the worst card player I've ever seen in my life. On that, Mikey said, the house agrees. Windshield Vinny came over with the notebook and the face he made when numbers got personally exciting. Want to hear the night? Tell me the night. Tony's clean hand. 10 silver of new money on the table. Your stake back off the top, so 10 net. That's the whole take from the actual gambling. Vinny turned the page. Now the room. Paulie turned 17 silver in drink, which is a record, and not by a little. Frankie did 9 in food, which is also a record, because a crowd that won't leave a room gets hungry standing up. The disclosed rake on completed pots came to 2 silver even, and Frankie's book, his instrument, cleared 1 silver, 4 coppers after payouts. Give me the number. 29 silver and 4 coppers, off the room, against 10 off the cards. Vinny closed the notebook. That's just under 3-1, Mikey. We got robbed at the table by a professional for 4 hours, and it was the best night this building has ever had. Mikey sat with that. He looked out at the main room, which was still 3/4 full at an hour when the red door was usually stacking benches. They weren't leaving. They were standing around telling each other what they'd seen. The wax, the candle, the warden's sealed deck, the big one standing up, the kid and the fool. And every one of them had a cup in his hand that somebody had sold him. Godwin, Mikey said, your game's not bad. 'Tis a fine game. It's a fine game. Here's what I want. Same night every week in the back. House deck, bought sealed, opened at the table. Rules on a board by the door, in your handwriting, because nobody argues spelling with a guild warden. A 10th off every finished pot, said out loud. And Sal sits by the cards, not doing anything, just sitting. Get, Godwin said. You get a proper Thornwall game in the docks district, run properer than anybody in the market quarter runs it, and a free drink every Thursday, which you already get, so don't act like that's a concession. Godwin Thatch put out his hand. Mikey shook it, and discovered he had just made the Taverners Guild happy on purpose, which he would need a day or two to feel right about. Tony, twice tonight you had the better hand and you gave it away, and one time it cost Haman's pocket 8 coppers, and the other time it made you a hero, and you can't tell me which is which. They were bad cards, Frankie. Red were the same cards. No, the first ones were 7s. He's got a point, Paulie said, wiping the bar. He has not got a point. He doesn't know what a point is. Hey, Tony said. Nobody outside gets to say that, though, right? Freezes stopped. He looked at Mikey. Mikey looked back at him and said nothing. No, Frankie said. Nobody outside says it. Outside, you're a genius. He pointed the charcoal stub at Tony. In here, you're an idiot. Okay, Tony said, satisfied, and went and got the broom, because the floor had cards on it, and Tony had opinions about floors. Fireplace Mikey straightened his tie and went back to his table, and sat down in front of a Bronx sunset he had not ordered, and Paulie had brought anyway. 50A still in his building, an hour past closing, spending money to talk about something that had happened in his back room. He game was the business. The game was a rake and a headache. The business was every man standing between the bar and the card room door with a cup in his hand, waiting to see what happened next. And the beautiful part, the part Mikey turned over after the candles went down, was that they'd come to watch the foreigners lose. They'd charge them for the view.